Hey, you! Don't want that! What's this? This is the heavy, heavy monster sound. The Natsuya sound around! So if you come in off the street and you're beginning to feel the heat, well, listen, Buster. You'd better start to move your feet to the rockinest, rocksteady beat of madness. One step beyond! Hello, 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 hello. As Seinfeld would say, hello, hello. And I don't think a lot of people are going to get that reference. But it's probably a little better, though, than, like, introducing yourself, beginning your podcast, like, with your ball cap backwards. Just say, what's up? What's up, bro? What's up, bro? What's up? Welcome back to the show, bro. Got big topics to talk about today, bro. But here we sit. Here we sit. It's kind of like, I guess kind of wintry now. It's like officially, like, it's California wintry, California cold. It's like 53, high of 53. But like, you know, the Midwest is like minus 53 or some shit. Like, fucking, that's got to be the worst, man, being in the Midwest. I'm sorry. I'm not singling you out, but if you live there, I'm sorry, because it's like, if you could, like, step up on top of the roof of your car and look out and see your entire state, like, you probably should move. I don't know. Like, no mountains. That's no good. But it's cold, you know, and there's, like, a lot of, like, locusts in the summer and shit like that, and like mosquitoes the size of hummingbirds. So we're out here in California, and it's like I've been wearing a short sleeve shirt, really, you know. And although the oceans, there's some mighty swells building up. The sea was angry that day, my friends. Another Seinfeld reference. Okay, sorry. Okay, enough. Enough with that bullshit. So, but all the kids are starting to head back. My girls are headed back this coming weekend. They're on the quarter system, back at it. I was talking to my youngest today about all the crazy waves down, because she's at Santa Cruz, and the campus is way up in the hills, up in the bluffs, but along that stretch there in Capitola down by, and then, Monterey and that stretch, Pacifica, like, they're just getting battered, slammed. And she had applied for a paid internship, through the marine biology program they got there, and didn't get it. But I kind of reassured her. I said, well, right now the person that got that, internship is sitting on a boat right now in, like, Monterey Bay, just being thrown around. They're wearing, like, one of those big, giant metal round helmets with, like, the hose coming out the back, you know, like the old school scuba gear, you know, with, like, the little metal door at the front that's all you can see out of. They're just sitting in one of those things, you know. Sitting on a box on a fishing boat in Monterey Bay, just getting thrown around. So, you know, she dodged a bullet probably. But it's back to school, kids. It's back to school, kids. And, back to those bastions of learning, right? Like, I can, man, it's getting wild out there. It's just, I guess it's only relative to, like, the time you live in, but it just seems as though you're in a distinct time. And we are, by most accounts. I was kind of looking at, like, There's like a meme. It says like if you're born in 1900, like say you're born like I think Hemingway was born 1899. But that, you know, if you're born turn of the century, and 1904 is when the Wright brothers flew Kitty Hawk. 1914 was the start of the First World War, which they did have warplanes, not very sophisticated, but just in 10 years' time, they evolved. The aviation technology advanced in just that fast that now you could just strap bombs to it and drop them on people. So, but you're like 14 years old. I don't know what the draft requirements were being drafted. If you had to be 18, I imagine you probably did. Although this is also around the Industrial Revolution, where like there's like 8-year-olds working in coal mines and stuff. So I don't know for sure. Can't say for sure. Then you got the 1918. Now, if that was enough, so if you got drafted or you went to war, then, or even if you didn't, by the time you're 18, there's the Spanish flu outbreak, a worldwide pandemic. Then you go into the 20s, and you got to deal with crash of the stock market, prohibition, the Great Depression of the 30s. And then the Second World War that really technically began like in late 30s when all that fucking shit was going on. So now you're 30-something, right? Now there's a Second World War. You're like, fuck, man. What the fuck? Like, it's just going fucking... This is bizarre. And then if you happen to get pulled into that, or you just kind of wade your way through it, then you got the Korean conflict. I mean, gee, it just never ends, you know? So I guess the time, you know, it's just a weird time. But I learned a thing the other day, or a few weeks ago, from one of the nurses at the donor centers. She says she's on the brink of becoming a dink. I said, a dink? What kind of wizardry voodoo kind of talk is this? What is this bullshit? What is this sorcery? And it's dual income, no children. It's an acronym. So D-I-N-C, dual income, no children. So like, which is like unheard of back in the day, right? Like I'm reading, I'm like two-thirds of the way through this Jerry Lee Lewis biography, and that fucking guy was insane. But he's just a wild man. He's just wild. But the times were wild then. So I'm reading in the late 50s, he's at this point he's like 21 or something, 22. And he'd already broke through with a whole lot of shaking going on. That was like it just catapulted him to fame and fortune, right? Then he goes down to the city hall in somewhere in Louisiana, and he fills out, he applies for a marriage license for Myra Gale Brown, who he says is 20 years old on the marriage license, right? But in all actuality, she's only 13, and she's his cousin. So times were simpler back then, right? And you just could go to the county clerk and just say, yeah, I'm going to get married, and this is, you know, you got to trust me on this information that I'm giving you. And I think... I think my grandfather even lied to get into the war. He joined the Navy so that he wouldn't be drafted into like the Army as an infantry So he, I think he was 17, yeah, when he went to, he joined the Navy, and then he went to Okinawa, or, yeah, he was on his way to Okinawa. I don't know if he ever made it to Okinawa, which was a, that was a bloody, bloody battle. And, but I think the war had ended by the time he'd gotten there. But this is like, it's a, like I say, it's a different time. Like he, how come people aren't verifying, like you didn't have to carry your ID or anything, or what the hell is going on? What the hell? But, so he, so on the way over though, he was on a ship and he was just, to occupy their time. Like, you know, you got 1,000 guys on this ship or whatever. He, they gave him all hammers to go peel up like, floor tiles, old floor tiles. Whatever. And, he ended up just throwing his hammer over the edge into, and just tossing it into the Pacific Ocean, I guess. And, when his main officer asked him where his hammer went, he goes, "I don't know, some son of a bitch stole it." You know, and back then you could just get away with shit like that, right? You just make shit up, right? Like, I don't know. It, pre-internet, pre-computer, pre-digitization of anything. Jesus, you can get away with fucking anything. Like, I distinctly recall when I was 21, I got a DUI. And then I had to go to counseling, I guess. It was mandated. And it was like a fucking, it seemed like forever. Just, it was only, it might have been a couple months, maybe. But basically, you just kind of showed up at this place, this kind of community building. And you just, we sat in like a half circle. And there was an old alcoholic who ran the counseling session. They just kind of talked to us about the bad effects of alcohol, the fact that we were probably all alcoholics, we just didn't know it. I don't know, but anyway. But part of that counseling was also you had to attend an AA meeting. So he's trying to convince you that not because you made a poor decision, but because you're probably deep down an alcoholic, you guys should all go to an AA meeting. Well, so they leave it up to you to pick the meeting. I went to the meeting. I didn't go. Well, I didn't go to the meeting. All right. But you had a little sign-off sheet that you took with you. You bring back and then you turn it in. And it's signed by whoever ran the meeting. Well, lo and behold, like, those meetings are anonymous. Like, you're not allowed to say who's in the meeting, right? Like, I believe it's kind of contrary to their bylaws. Like, you can't divulge names. So I just made up a name and I signed it and turned it in. And that was it. But, like, it would probably be different now if you got because you got to sign up digitally. There's a digital footprint. There's a digital footprint with everything, you know? Everything can be traced, God, probably digitally, by satellite, by GPS, nav, phone, all kinds of digital records. Jesus, you can't, I mean, it's bizarre. It's great. It's strange. But that's our future now. So, and it is interesting, you know? There just seems to be all, like my dispatch knows where I'm at. Not that I care, but like I went in yesterday to pick up, my check at our satellite office. And, the dispatch there said, you made it here from Midtown that you documented 16 minutes ago. You made it here in a mere 3 minutes. And I didn't go by Midtown. I was supposed to go by Midtown, and the parent company that contracts to me wants me to go to Midtown to check in there if there's a pickup, but there's never a pickup. Their pickups are scheduled on Tuesdays at like 3:30 and like 8 o'clock, but they schedule at 12:30. Now, my parent company, not the dispatch, but the parent company says, go there and check if there's a 12:30 pickup for any donations. And I know damn well there isn't. So I call them and I talk to the receptionist, and then she goes and asks and blah, 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 blah. And so I just drive right by Midtown and I head into the office, and she says, oh, I see you just closed out the Midtown jobs. And you got here in 2 minutes from Midtown. I said, yeah, I made all the lights. But the point is they know where, they kind of know where you're at. And so now that's the world we live in. You know, I remember back, God, when they started tracking stuff like in big box retailers, like there was that early rumor, like they were just telling you, like, you know, they keep track of what you buy. And I'm like, okay. But then it just became so advanced, like the tracking and the direct marketing. Like, I even learned about digital marketing, and it just follows you. You know how it is. You just think of something, it pops up on your phone, right? I mean, Jesus Christ, on a popsicle stick. What are we doing, folks? But, I don't know. I was going to talk about just random shit. Congratulations to Washington for holding off the Longhorns. Boy, they did not like that. Steve Sarkisian did not like that. Matthew McConaughey did not like that. Texas, they took a rare postseason loss there. And then Michigan closed out Alabama. And both good games. So it's going to be a Michigan-Washington national championship. So that'd be interesting. That's about all I got on that topic. Who gives a? You know, in the long-term spectrum of things, I don't know. Will it really matter? But I was talking about wild people, just wild. I'm personally drawn to like wild people. That's why I was so interested in this Jerry Lee Lewis biography. Not because of the music. I mean, look at it in terms of like today's standards. Like, so his struggle was he came up through the Assembly of God Church, which is like fire and brimstone type shit, like old school Old Testament fucking Jimmy Swaggart, I have sinned, and just gnarly, just fucking snake handling Pentecostal type stuff, just wild, wild shit, right? And it was so ingrained in him, and it's so fascinating how the South just fucking just laps that shit up, man. And sorry, I'm not taking a shot at anybody, I'm just, come on, I mean, you know as well as I do, like, that's where all the wild shit happens. Just wild shit. Bootlegging, right? Just wild people. Just wild, living wild. I mean, all these, like, the Lewis family, they come from a long line of bootleggers with stills out in the woods. You know, it's just a fascinating life. Like, these guys don't have a regimen. There's no regimen. There's no, like, get up for work at 7 a.m. Then I go to work. Then I come home. Then I watch TV. And then I go to sleep. No, these fucking guys are fucking kooks, man. They're making moonshine. They're making weird shit in the woods. They're racing each other. They're stealing. Jerry Lee Lewis, he used to fucking just break into places and steal shit. Steal jewelry. Steal a gun. Whatever. And I know he's not the only guy. I mean, he's a product of what was going on at the times, but just crazy. But when he came out with those, well, a whole lot of shaking going on. I mean, it was a good song. I mean, it's a classic, right? It's not his. He didn't write it. He just performed it. He made it his own. And then Singing with Great Balls of Fire wasn't his own. But he was so torn between, like, because the songs were so evocative, like hellfire and brimstone and great balls of fire and talk about girls and oh man, he loved that shit, man. In his own I don't know, quirky way, in his own defense, like he's definitely, in my opinion, an innovator, despite all the kind of internal turmoil and struggles and just wrestling with God, and then but playing these songs, because these songs were really risky at the time, really risque, like bad, like risque. And but this motherfucker, he's marrying his 13-year-old cousin. He grew up as, now this is what I, in my opinion, made him an innovator, is like he never formally took, I mean, he showed some talent and on the piano, but it was primarily self-taught by ear, from what I'm gathering. And then but when he was real young, like 13, 14, run around town at night, because these guys don't, like I said, they don't stay at home, they don't watch TV, they couldn't afford a TV at this point, you know, we're talking late 40s in Faraday, Louisiana, so not a lot of households with television sets, but this guy would sneak into town, he would sneak around town, sneak into the black clubs, listen to what they're doing, the boogie-woogie, you know, that was his thing, the boogie-woogie, that's what got it. He went to Bible school, and he got kicked out for putting a boogie-woogie spin on an old gospel tune, an old biblical tune, you know, and they fucking booted his ass right out of there. So, but he just, there was something that was just, he was just drawn to it, and to be because in 40s and 50s Louisiana, there was obviously white only clubs, and then they had also black only clubs, which you know, the whites didn't go in the black clubs and the blacks didn't go in the white clubs, but this motherfucker did. So he'd break into these juke joints and listen to these black musicians and just lap it up, and just, he was like a human sponge. And that's where he got it. I mean, that's a great story. It's maybe passe by today's standards, but fast forward to modern times. I mean, now you look at a whole lot of shaking going on, and Great Balls of Fire is like, yawn. Like, but this motherfucker, when he was on the piano, like, he'd had that signature move. He'd kick that stool out across the stage, and it'd just go flying off into the wall. Girls just go, fuck it. I mean, not a dry seat in the house, you know what I'm saying? And even when it's just interesting. It's just an interesting, interesting life. And I'm up to the point where he has broken through. He's just divorced his second wife, and he married his 13-year-old cousin, and a whole lot of shit going on is just tearing up the charts, and Elvis just got drafted, so he's kind of taken over, and he's just riding that success right now, but it's just about to come crashing down when there's the backlash to marrying the, like, that shit doesn't go unnoticed, right? So, but the wild, it's just wild, they're wild people, same can be said, you know, I mean, it's not exclusive to one person, right? Like, I guess that's why I'm fascinated by these people like Elon. Like, the more I listen to this audiobook about this fucking kook, I love it. Like, these guys don't, they don't sleep. They're fearless. They're actually fearless. And I don't know how else to describe it, but they don't, Like this whole fight scenario with Musk versus Zuck. Put your money on Elon Musk. That motherfucker. He'll fuck him up. He's got the size, but he just grew up in that same kind of scrappy mindset. That you know, same with Jerry Lee. Like these guys are just fucking. They're just mutants, man. They're kind of driven by a weird obsessive compulsiveness, right? This, you know, as I'm listening to the audiobook too, I'm thinking about like, Elon Musk is kind of like a modern day Howard Hughes more than anything, right? I think I've even said this before in the past, but because Howard Hughes talked about OCD, obsessive compulsive. He's a guy, what I love about these guys is they're brash, but they're not it's not a deliberate brashness. They just, it's almost a naivete where like Howard Hughes, you know, he'd go around asking Louis B. Mayer for, if he could borrow some cameras that he might not be using, so he can film his movie Hell's Angels, right? The war pick with all the planes and stuff. And Howard Hughes is like 20 something. What is he? 22. Never directed a movie in his life. And he just creates just through sheer force and will, and brashness, and stupidity, and a lot of money. Naturally, one of the great movies for its time. I mean, they used so many cameras on Hell's Angels. It was just like it had brought film to a new level. And he wasn't even a filmmaker. He considered himself a pilot. He was an aviator. He was more interested in breaking the speed record around the world flight record, shit like that. He wasn't, you know, he was a, he was a sharp businessman, but he was a spendthrift as well. I mean, it's just that all the stuff that he just kind of funneled and shuttled money and just shoveled, you know, wheelbarrows of money towards just eventually paid off, like all the military contracts and stuff like that. And at the time, you know, they thought he was like a grifter, right? Hustling the government for money to build like this gigantic plane, the Hercules, the largest plane at the time. And since they didn't have any scrap metal, he's like, fuck it, where am I getting it out of wood? Like, that's very Elon Musk. And vice versa. You know? Like, a lot of what Elon Musk does is very Howard Hughes. Is just kind of fucking like, fuck it, we gotta get it done. Like, this is how we're gonna do it. This is how we're gonna do it. Like, we got 30 days to do this. Let's do it in 15. And then he figures out a way. And all these people that are just waiting for him to fail, you know, standing around waiting for him to fail, like Bill Gates. And he fucking hates Bill Gates, man. Oh, he hates Bill Gates because Bill Gates is trying to get him to like be a philanthropist or dabble in philanthropy anyway, get behind some big causes. And he's like, well, do you still have a short position on Tesla stock? He's like, yeah, I haven't cleared my position. I haven't cleared it. He's like, well, fuck you then. Go fuck yourself. I mean, when he's ranting at some interview about his advertisers, he was telling his advertisers to go fuck themselves. I fucking love that shit. I love that shit. That's American. That's America. That's American shit right there, you know? I mean, these guys are fucking mutants, but they're the epitome. That's what the earlier, this is about America. This is like, you're not going to tell me how to do something. Because I'm just going to nod and agree and then do what I was going to do anyway, you dumb fuck, you dumb bitch, right? I fucking love that. But they're wild. They're just, you know, it's just, they have it or they don't have it. I don't have it. I mean, I recognize it, but I don't have it. I don't have that kind of, you know. I suppose if I had been more self-aware earlier on in my life, maybe, I don't know, but You know, the other problem is my short attention span. But they all have that too. But it's like, I don't know. There's a lot. Getting back to it, it's like I grew up kind of in a nice, simple suburban fucking upbringing, right? There wasn't a lot of friction. There wasn't a lot of resistance. Not a lot of obstacles to overcome. You know, I didn't have to go to a school in the projects. I didn't have to suffer. I wasn't bullied. You know, there was bullies, and I ran into a couple of them. I know. You know, I'd squared off with one or two, but it wasn't routine, and it wasn't anything that ever kind of affected the trajectory of my life. My best friend in elementary school, just by coincidence, was the principal's son, which was actually kind of serendipitous because I did have a knack for getting in trouble, so I had an inside man, right? And it wasn't, like I say, it wasn't, it was like the first day of school. In first grade, he's like, "You want to be my friend?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's that easy. You just find a human you like, and then they're your friend." I didn't know who he was. I was like, "Who are you? Like, what's? Let me know your background. Like, what are your buying habits? Like, do you buy a lot of industrial detergents? And, you know, what do you? Are you carnivorous, or do you kind of lean to vegetarianism, or are you full vegan, or what's your religious status, and what's your opinion on pronouns? Like, fuck up. You know, you just hang out with somebody. It's worked out. I mean, I got a lot of, it was a double-edged sword. It was a two-way street. I got singled out a little because of proximity to the principal's son, because everybody knew he was the principal's son. But it also got me out of a lot of trouble when I had to kind of, you know, I didn't defend him. I didn't stick, you know, he and I weren't squaring off on people, but, you know, we'd play football, and if we won, it was met with a little more derision than otherwise would the situation would otherwise call for because he was the principal. It was like, fuck that guy. So, but, you know, it never got out of hand. I was, you know, like I said, we're in soft times now. We're in really soft times. But, I don't know, you know, I guess it can be okay, because why do you want to stay in hard times? You know, why do you want to be that person that starts out born in 1899 like Hemingway and just fucking go through, like, you know, World War I, fucking Spanish flu, you know, the Depression, all that shit. And those are hard people. That's a hard existence, you know? Those people have very little to say, you know, because they've kind of been through some stuff where it doesn't warrant even a commenting on sometimes, right? They're just stoic. They're just stoic, hard people. But, and that's kind of interesting and cool, but it's like, it's a hard life. You don't want to, I was saying, when I was picking up over at Fair Oaks, Amanda over there asked me if, what's my New Year's resolution? I said, just talk less. You know, but I already fucked that up. So 2025 is my year. But yeah, as you get older, you gotta figure out a way to kind of just be use your knowledge, right? Like I was saying, I think the last episode is like after a certain point, you know, I don't know, like you got. Your people's opinion of you is based on the merits of kind of how you conduct yourself, right? You know, that's why, like, Jerry Lee Lewis, like those guys, like Jerry Lee Lewis, but in his, you know, it was probably a pretty sad last decade for him, you know, just kind of this shell of a bitter, kind of maligned guy. You know, when you reach the scale and popularity, and you know, you hit a peak of where people just fall in, and they're just like, yeah, like they get behind in what you do, but then when they leave, it's like, man, bottom drops out, and you're just like this old broke down, like kind of paranoid kind of guy. He's got a gun. He's, you know, he's like Elvis, you know, kind of hooked on pills, just kind of like staring at the TV, you know, shooting out TV sets in hotel rooms and just weird shit, and wearing those glasses that get darker as it becomes more light out, you know, what do they call it? Just weird stuff, you know. It's fascinating, yeah. But the wild ones don't grow. They don't age well. Even Elon Musk, he's terrified he's gonna turn into his dad, who's by all accounts very historically an intelligent person, but as he got older, he just became bitter and hardened, and he's like a full on Trump guy, and he's like racist, and he fathered a child with a girl that he raised as his stepdaughter. It's just weird stuff, you know. So Elon's like fucking, he's just scared shitless that he's gonna turn into his dad, like some whacked out old bitter weirdo. And it, you know, and all these weird publicity stunts that he's pulling, and he's trolling people on X or Twitter or whatever you want to call it, is probably that manifesting itself. And it's rough, but those are the wild ones. Those are wild people. Wild people just, they don't age gracefully, you know? Yeah, I never saw Kurt Cobain growing old, right? Yeah, it's wild shit. It's almost like a tale of a cautionary tale, right? Like you can, yeah, it's great to be an innovator, a genius, a scientific genius, an engineer, you know, creating new and innovative paths of thinking and development, stuff like that. But, or musically, or artistically, or theoretically, or mathematically, or entrepreneurially, if that's even a word. But the flip side of that is just getting a good job, finding a girl, going home, watching Seinfeld at night, laying low. Don't draw attention to yourself. Whatever. I don't know. The safe route. I don't know. It's weird times. But it's all relative. It's all relative, right? You know? And there you have it. That's all I got.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the show, everybody. I hope you have a great, great new year.
Oh, my God. I just ate this spinach salad with... Oh, garlic, it's coming back on me. Oh, Jesus, it was in me. Now it's on me. Oh, God, I gotta go. All right, I'll talk at you later. Arrivederci, baby.